Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of it made overnight and yesterday. The Bannon contempt trial. Steve Bannon, one of the Trump inner circle. He'd been criminally charged, pardoned by Trump, criminally charged over the scam where he claimed he was raising money to build a wall with Mexico, and then he used some of it for personal expenses, among other things. He was they're full of bravado going into this trial. He said, I will go medieval, whatever that means. I mean, who knows what he means by medieval? What is he going to bring, a sword and a shield or something? Ride in on a horse? I mean, he's not going medieval. In this trial, most people looking at it think he's likely to be convicted. The contempt of Congress for blowing off the subpoena. You know, all you have to do if you're subpoenaed by Congress or by a grand jury or any lawful subpoena in the United States, all you got to do is show up. That's all you have to do. You can take the Fifth Amendment if you want to. Remember, General Michael Flynn showed up. He was not in contempt, but he took the Fifth on everything. He took the Fifth on a question that said, do you believe under our Constitution and the peaceful transition of power? And he took the Fifth on that one. Well, when you take the Fifth, that means that you invoke your privileges under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution. That is the Federal Due Process Amendment, which is extended to the states in the 14th Amendment. That's a lot of technical inside stuff. But basically, there were a lot of people in the 19th century who said that the states didn't have to comply. In other words, the state could deny you due process, even though the federal government couldn't. Courts have interpreted the 14th Amendment, a very, very influential amendment, to extend everything in the Bill of Rights in the Constitution to the states. So what it means is you get up there and you're really saying, I refuse to answer on the grounds that it might incriminate me. It might incriminate me. If you take a look at the transcript, actually look at the video of General Flynn's testimony, he would just say five. Well, theoretically, what he should have said in each one is, I refuse to answer on the grounds that it might incriminate me. That sounds a lot heavier. That sounds a lot more ominous. Talks about incrimination. Saying five seems to be a little more trivial. They let him do it. The correct answer would have been, you mean you refuse to answer on the grounds that it might incriminate you? Yes, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, that's what he did. In a criminal case against you later, if they bring a criminal case against you, the government can't use that you invoke the Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. They can't get up in front of a jury and go, ladies and gentlemen, this witness appeared in front of Congress or a grand jury on such and such a date. And when he was asked, did you murder the guy? He said, I refuse to answer on the grounds that might incriminate me. They can't do that. They can't say that. That would be a mistrial if they said that. But in a civil case, unlike criminals where you can go to jail, go to prison, criminal conviction, a misdemeanor, a felony has severe consequences. You can't vote in many places. You can't serve in a position of trust in the government. In the military, as an officer in the military or in the government. There are a lot of other things as well. You're disabled for a felony. A civil charge against you, charge is a misnomer. Basically, it's a civil lawsuit that wants either money out of you or compliance with something, an injunction ordering you to do something, and there's no criminal consequence to it. If you take the Fifth, say Bannon took the Fifth, he hasn't yet, but let's say he did at some point, General Flynn took the Fifth, it can hurt you in a civil case. It can hurt you in a civil case. The judge can turn to the jury and give an instruction. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jones here invoked his right against self-incrimination and refused to answer the question, did you murder the guy? You are entitled to infer from that something negative to him, i.e. he did murder the guy. So when his widow wants $10 million in damages, you can take that into account. So in a civil case, it can have a devastating consequence, but not in a criminal case. And at the level we're talking about here, all that anybody cares about is whether or not they go to jail. These guys do not want to go to jail. They've had very, very affluent, soft lives, and they do not want them screwed up. Bannon tried to wiggle out of it just before this trial by saying, okay, I'll testify after all. And the law on that is you don't cure a contempt by just subsequent voluntarily agreeing to testify. That original contempt stands. You don't get to self-cure. Now, if in the average case where he was not well known, it wasn't as high profile, yeah, the Congress or prosecutor might go, okay, you've seen the light, fine. But Steve Bannon didn't see the light. He's obsessed, frankly, with celebrity, prestige, Trump, and making a public spectacle, being an opera star, a diva, singing an aria. That's what he wants to do. So he would have gone in if they'd let him self-cure and just lambast the committee and insult them and yell at them, take the Fifth in some cases, and he would have made a circus out of it. They're not entitled, or they are not required, and he is not entitled to let him self-cure in that way. So he can't self-cure, and he's going through with this. The one other ominous thing for him is there was reporting late last night that the Justice Department is investigating other areas of criminal prosecution of Steve Bannon. And I obviously don't know. I haven't seen the file. It's private. I'm not going to see the file. But there are a couple of things that occur to me. They are looking at all of Trump's pardons, Trump's crooked pardons. And I'll give you one example that did come out yesterday. A fellow down in Florida, a donor to Trump, contributor, he had been convicted on multiple counts of fraud and theft and so forth. And Trump pardoned him. He would have gone to jail for 20 years. 20 years. Trump pardoned him. Trump pardoned him because he was a donor. Now, unfortunately for the guy, there were several counts on which the jury was hung. What does that mean? There has to be a unanimous verdict in a criminal case. So there are 12 jurors. And what the jurors said on counts, 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9 were unanimous. He's guilty. That's what he gets sentenced to 20 years for. But on counts 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10, we're split. We're split 50-50. We could be split 11-1. 11-1, that's a split. And so, therefore, we're hung jury. The judge will go, okay. And he'll go, okay, then we are going to sentence him on the ones you came to unanimity on. But the other ones, they go in the ozone. The government can retry him, but once they nail them on the 20 years, they're not going to go through the trouble of trying him again. Well, what Merrick Garland is doing, I think, is smart. He's looking at all of these pardons and seeing, were there any hung jury charges in any of them? And let's consider re-prosecuting them on those hung jury charges. In other words, they were never resolved. They were never resolved. Trump and no president can pardon you for something there was a hung jury charge. Now, a president can pardon you in advance, not for criminal conduct you do in the future, but he can say anything having to do with the subject matter, you're pardoned. So what Gerald Ford did with Richard Nixon, when he pardoned him for lying and obstructing and all of that, it was very broad because he hadn't been charged yet. And he said, we pardon you for everything, everything you did in connection with this. And that does stand. But that's not what Trump did. Trump didn't say about this guy in Florida, I pardon you for all the fraud that was at issue in this case and all the dishonest, despicable things you did in connection with that subject matter up till now. He didn't do that. He said, you've been convicted on these counts, and I pardon you. That was a big mistake if he wanted to do a sneaky thing and just pardon a donor. That was a big mistake because there were counts, several counts of fraud and theft where there was a hung jury and there was no broad disclaimer of a pardon for any conduct. Now, there are a number of people who are jumping up and down screaming in the Republican Party, no, that's not fair. That's you caught him. You shouldn't have caught him. Trump should have thought it out a little. Well, come on, guys. Come on, guys. These were crooked, sneaky pardons. You know that, right? He pardoned Manafort. He commuted Roger Stone's sentence. He pardoned Flynn. He pardoned Bannon. He pardoned these guys. This is all part of the Russia thing. This is all part of the attack on democracy. We have got to get to this stuff, and that's what the January 6th Commission is doing. So stand by. This is going to be a fascinating trial. Most observers, expert observers, look at it and say that Bannon is going to go down. Maximum of 2 years on each count. He's not going to get 2 years, but, you know, he could get 6 months. He could get a year. That can be for good conduct and blah, 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 come down a little bit. He can be given work release and a lot of things, but it's a very unpleasant thing to have happen. And the more ominous thing for Steve Bannon is if they take a harder look at what's going on with the other stuff where he was pardoned, but it didn't take. There were some hung jury issues, or there are things that he wasn't pardoned for. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time.
As looking back to Matt Flynn, Director, our lines are open, 844-967-2789.
On a cold and gray Chicago.
I'll tell you, there is a fascinating insight from an expert on the Secret Service about these so-called texts that were so-called deleted, that were subpoenaed by the January 6th Commission. And here's what's happened. A fellow named Jeffrey Robinson. Jeffrey Robinson was with the Secret Service for much of his career. He's one of the most experienced Secret Service agents, and he's written a book, What It's Like to Be Inside the Secret Service. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. Now, he's an expert, and he was interviewed, and they said, well, what about this? The Secret Service says there were texts during the insurrection that were deleted to make way for other things, you know, just clearing the devices. He laughed. He said, that's a scam. Let me tell you something about it, what happened. He said, when the president is traveling, I didn't even know this, there are 150 to 200 agents at every point where he's going to stop or slow down. 150 to 200 agents all through the crowd. They all have microphones on their sleeves and earpieces. They talk by radio. I remember, believe it or not, this is a long time ago, in 1978, Jimmy Carter was president and he was looking to run for re-election in 1980. Unfortunately, he didn't make it against Ronald Reagan. But in any event, he sent Chip Carter, his son, to Milwaukee for an event. And I was at that event. And there was a Secret Service agent with Chip Carter, his son. And suddenly the guy started to talk into his sleeve. And I turned to the guy, I said, what's he doing talking into his sleeve? He said, he's talking to the the Secret Service in Sheboygan. Now, I'm in Milwaukee, right? In Sheboygan. That's about, what, 55 miles away from Milwaukee? And you know, this reminded me of the old Dick Tracy cartoons where, you know, you have the watch radio and all that. Now that's nothing technologically, but back then that was a big deal. Well, they've been doing this for 50 years or more. And Jeffrey Robinson said, they don't send texts. Are you kidding me? If they sent texts, it was because they didn't want to be on the radio. They were concealing it. And then he said, and let me tell you something, there's no such thing as deleting a text or an email. You may delete it from your server. You may delete it from your phone. You may delete it from a lot of places. But if the NSA, the National Security Agency, wants to find it, they'll find it. It's out in the ozone. So he said what the January 6th Commission should do is to hone in and say, are you kidding me? You're texting right in the middle of this guy traveling on the way to an insurrection, and there's 150 to 200 agents around, and what? Nobody wants to go on the radio? What are you hiding? What are you hiding? I'm not sure some of them weren't on the radio, quite frankly. And what about Jeffrey Robinson's statement? You say you deleted them because you want to make room on your devices? Baloney. Go to the NSA and have them recover them. This is a cover-up. It's a cover-up by the Secret Service. The Secret Service is good, there's no question, but they're overly zealous, and at some point they can get mistaken. Their duty, their loyalty is to the United States, not to Donald, not to the individual. The individual, the president, is synonymous with the United States in many respects, ceremonially. The president of the United States is the head of state and the head of government. What does that mean? In merry old England, they have it split. The queen is the head of state. The prime minister is the head of government. But we put it in one person, one guy, head of state and head of government. So you want to be loyal to the head of state because the head of state is your state, is the United States. And they call him, obviously, POTUS, President of the United States, POTUS, POTUS. When the president gets on a Navy ship, when he gets on the Navy ship, there's an announcement the sailors bring to attention. He's piped on, and they go, United States arriving, United States on board. If the admiral comes on a ship, that's a very big deal. They hoist the admiral's flag. Every admiral has his own colors. These are flag officers, his own flag. And they'll say, Comserve Lant arriving, you know, giving his, it's a very big formal deal. It's very chilling. It's very neat. The president was never on my ship, but, you know, there were senior officers that would come on our ship to visit or inspect, and it's very neat. But he is the United States, the president. United States arriving. Well, in this case, however, when the president of the United States is inciting an insurrection to keep him in power and launch a coup and overturn an election, that's a different story. The Secret Service, like always, should talk into their sleeves and listen in their earbuds. They always do that. Jeffrey Robinson said that. They always do it. There's 150 to 200 of them along that route. 150 to 200 of them. What? They all texted? What? They took out their thumbs and they texted? Are you kidding me? You can talk a lot quicker than you can text. And if they did text, if some order went out, radio silence, that's very, very concerning. That's a cover-up. All right, get the text. Oh, I got rid of them because you what? You didn't have space? You couldn't, what? Come on. You didn't have an iPhone? What are you texting on, Jack? Get the NSA to get to the bottom of this. But the Secret Service, it's a cock and bull story, an absolutely cock and bull story. And it leads you to wonder, why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? Obviously, they want to be loyal to the president. They are going to get the driver of the car to say that Trump didn't try to grab the steering wheel, even though Tony Ornato told the witness that he did, Cassidy Hutchinson, that he did. Trump skunked them all. He said, I wasn't even in the car until a Capitol Police officer showed a picture of him in the car. I mean, they got to get their story straight, but why are they trying to get their story straight? What story is there to get straight? What's straight? What happened? What happened? Tony Ornato, who is the deputy chief of staff, had been with the Secret Service. He was especially loyal to Trump, remember? And he has lied before to protect Trump during the Lafayette Square clearing. Remember Trump? They sent him in to beat up protesters and shove journalists and break their cameras in one case. So he could walk across Lafayette Square to a church and hold up a Bible. Remember that? Well, Tony Ornato was told by Alyssa Farah Griffin, deputy communications director, if you're going to do this, for Pete's sake, at least warn the journalists. You do not want to punch or hurt a journalist or break their equipment. Remember, they're journalists. They cover us. Ornato, that was not passed on by Ornato to anybody. They did go on. They roughed up journalists. They shoved at least one cameraman and his camera hit the ground. And Ornato afterwards lied and said, no, Alyssa Farah Griffin didn't tell me that. Now he's lying and saying Cassidy Hutchinson didn't tell me anything. And I didn't tell Cassidy Hutchinson that this was going to be very bad. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
He buys a gun, he steals a car, tries to run, but he don't get far.
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. Nighttime would
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going back to Wisconsin this time. We're going to Wisconsin. There's a fascinating story that came out. Now think about this. 92%. They did a poll of 4,452 people in Wisconsin. 92% of them had eaten fish in the last 12 months. Well, duh. One of my favorite meals is a Friday fish fry. Cod, perch, potato pancakes with French fries. Getting hungry talking about it. Coleslaw, rye bread. It's excellent. Doesn't get any better than that. Everybody eats fish. But most people do not know what restrictions there are on how many fish you can eat from what body of water. And what this study showed was that if you're a fisherman and you catch the fish, you're usually pretty up on that. If you're up in the Chippewa flowage, you're in a lake in Dane County, you're up around Marinette, you know basically, or many of you do, many of us do, what kind of restrictions there are for your own health. What most people don't understand is that there are forever chemicals, PCBs, lead, and mercury in our water now. Even if we stopped all discharges, that includes the Great Lakes, unfortunately. So let me throw this out, and let me throw this out, see how much of it you had known or taken in. If you eat Lake Michigan whitefish, and I love Lake Michigan whitefish, by the way. There's nothing like it. Good whitefish meal. Lake Michigan whitefish, trout, yellow perch. You like to eat those, and I do very much. You should only do it once a week. You shouldn't do it every day. Now, once a week is fine with me for a fish fry, but during the week, I might want whitefish. Or trout, or yellow perch. They advise only once a week. Lake Michigan now, because of industrial discharge, has a sufficiently high level of forever chemicals, PCBs, lead, and mercury to make it advisable that you have it once a week. That doesn't mean you stop doing it. Listen, line up for the fish fries. Do it, but once a week. Lake Superior, the trout. Once a month. Some fish are more susceptible to having these chemicals ingested or just getting into them. You know, they're swimming through it, for Pete's sake. They ingest things through their scales. I mean, they're swimming in it. Now, most residents of Wisconsin, unless they're fishermen and have looked up the local advisories, are not going to be aware of it. If you buy it in the store, go to a grocery store, go to a restaurant, you have a beautiful fish dinner, you're going to eat it, and nobody likes it better than I do. However, what's to be done about this? Are we going to continue to continue to pollute our lakes, streams, including Lake Michigan and Lake Superior? Are we going to continue to pollute it? Now, part of the problem is that we do not control Lake Michigan, Lake Superior. There's something like 62 million people that live adjacent somewhere to Lake Michigan, from Lake Superior, Erie, Ontario, Huron, all of them, all the Great Lakes. Great Lakes are 25% of the planet's fresh water. The planet, not the United States, not North America, the planet. We're very, very lucky, blessed, and fortunate to be so close to Lake Michigan and Lake Superior. But we are stewards, and we have an obligation to make sure they're not polluted further. I'd like to say that they're not polluted. They already have been polluted. One thing is forever chemicals. Those are carcinogenic. Those are the ones that give cancer, testicular cancer, breast cancer, a lot of cancers. There are areas in the state now where you can't drink well water, up in Marinette, up in that area. Frankly, in Kewaunee, because of the CAFOs, the concentrated animal feeding operations, the same thing, they're drinking bottled water. But there are forever chemicals in the water in Eau Claire and Wausau and La Crosse and Madison, Dane County in general, Milwaukee. I said Marinette before, Rhinelander. Basically, it's all around, and they found forever chemicals in the livers of deer. I'm not talking about chronic wasting disease. I'm talking about cancerous carcinogenic chemicals in the livers of deer. If you're a deer hunter, like to hunt, you also like venison. You like to eat what you hunt. And you think you vote Republican, you are standing by to see the deer herd, in this state get poisoned and our water get poisoned. And it happens incrementally. Just like I've said before that fascism creeps in on little cats' feet, pollution creeps in on little cats' feet. One discharge at a time. One discharge at a time. And it's happening. There are ways around it. The federal government right now doesn't set standards for forever chemicals. I don't know why. Well, I do know why, because of Trump. Right now, the EPA under Biden has been told to put it together, and obviously they're in process of doing that. But our DNR came up with a recommended advisory. At least do something. It's blocked by Fred Prenn. Remember him? The DNR board. Fred Prenn is not legitimately serving. Connor, can you answer the phone? We have somebody on the line. Fred Prenn is not legitimately serving. What he's done is he's held over, and Republican judges have told him that he can stay. He's blocking it, and then Voss is blocking it. We're going to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day. Wisco Paul.
Two things. First of all, there was an article that the state of Maine, has PFAS observed. I'll just call them forever chemicals. They're also spread on fields from wastewater management plants. Now, up there, they have them. It's in everything, Matt. The deer, the fish, even in the food we grow. So this is one big problem. And I guess they're going to look into it up in Maine to try to figure out how to stop this. But this state has nothing. And once it gets in the food chain, I mean, they found, my understanding there is they found it in raccoons and everything else. The real troubling thing here, and I hope I have my facts right, that it is in the food chain somewhere along the line, and that's what the animals eat and drink. So It is a bad thing, and the GOP don't seem to, I don't know, they just kind of go, oh, whatever. Well, it's very dangerous. And my last point today, it's a bad deal. You know, Wisconsin, we're a tourist state, for goodness sakes. So my last thing is that for the people out there that think Ron Johnson is going to be easy to beat, he's not. He beat Feingold twice. So get out and vote in the primary, please. And it doesn't do me any good to endorse a candidate, but I know who I'm going to vote for anyway. But just those two things this morning. And Forever Chemicals, that's a bad deal, Matt. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. As always, right on the money. And first of all, I want to emphasize one thing that Paul said. The primary for Senate is 3 weeks from today, 3 weeks, 21 days. Pay attention to it. Pick out a candidate. We have some very good candidates. There's a debate the other day. Pick one out. Whatever you pick out, the one that you think is most likely to beat Ron Johnson. I think he is going to be beaten. It's true that he beat Feingold twice. The first time was in just a red wave. That was in 2010. And that's when Scott Walker won and Republicans won around the board. The truth of the matter is that there are these tsunamis, these hurricanes that benefit both parties historically. For instance, 1994 was a Republican wave. 1958 was a Democratic wave. 2018 was a Democratic wave. And 2010 Republican wave and all that. The second time he beat Feingold, he was an incumbent. Feingold had been out of office for a while. And frankly, Russ spent a lot of time in California at Stanford lecturing, came back to the state a little later. And I'm not sure it gave the impression of real enthusiasm and zeal for the job. I mean, there's plenty of enthusiasm and zeal for the job now. And remember something, Ron Johnson spent July 4th, 4th of July 2018 in Moscow, Russia. Not in the United States, Moscow, Russia. He's the one who said that he did not trust our FBI and CIA. He's the one who said that he had a right-wing nut on a panel, and the guy goes, if you get vaccinated, it may give you HIV. And instead of disavowing him, what Ron Johnson said was, quote, what you say may be true, but what you say may be true, but don't do it so quickly, develop it, that kind of thing. So I think we can win. Paul, thanks a lot. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Street with a gun in his hand in the ghetto. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I'll tell you what, and this is something that is constructive, and I want to commend it to everybody out there in the Democratic Party and independents and moderate Republicans who believe in our democracy. There's a Secretary of State race coming up, and there will be a primary on August 9, just like the Senate primary, but it's much less high profile. The incumbent, Doug La Follette, has been in office for more than 40 years and is an excellent Secretary of State. Doug La Follette is on the ballot. Doug La Follette is a distant relative of Fighting Bob La Follette and Bronson La Follette, Fighting Bob's grandson, who was an attorney general whom I knew back in the 60s and 70s, and a wonderful guy. In any event, the La Follette name is strong, and Doug La Follette is a good Secretary of State, so I expect him to win the primary. However, I'm afraid that the Democratic Party is going into this a little too lightly. The Republicans have targeted 13 secretaries of state around the country, the elections, to put in election deniers, to put in people who will not certify a Democrat if they win. In other words, just flat out won't certify. Now, in our state, there are some safeguards. The Wisconsin Election Commission passes on it, but they're blocked 50-50, three Democrats, three Republicans. The three Republicans on the Wisconsin Election Commission will not certify a Democrat. The governor, Evers, will, but in 2024, that's when the next election is up. The truth of the matter is that if, God forbid, there were a Republican governor, they wouldn't certify it either. We at least need a Democratic Secretary of State. or theoretically a Republican who is honest, but they're few and far between. There are not a lot of Liz Cheneys and a lot of Adam Kinzingers in the Republican Party right now. Here's the concern I have about this. Of the 13 or so Secretary of State positions that are being targeted by the Republicans, one of the key ones is Wisconsin. And Doug La Follette, to date, has raised only $19,000 this year. This year to date, $19,000. His major Republican opponent, and she'll have a primary too, is Amy Loudenbeck, a representative, state rep from Clinton. She's raised more than 98 grand. And here's the deal. La Follette, in a sense, thinks he's Bill Proxmire. I knew Bill Proxmire well. He was a great senator. He was my mentor in politics. Really think a lot of him and his memory. He raised no money. What he would do is he would spend a couple hundred bucks to send nomination papers out, pay a filing fee, and that's it. But he went around the state incessantly shaking hands. For anybody out there who's a little older, I can tell you every one of you has shaken his hand at one time. Every one of you. He shakes everybody's hands. That's how he did it. Nobody has that kind of energy anymore. So Doug La Follette is not Bill Proxmire, and he cannot go into a general election with no advertising. The only reason he has 19 grand is because some out-of-state people have tumbled to the fact that this is potentially a danger and just send him unsolicited contributions, and he's surprised at it. He had only asked his friends for a couple hundred bucks to send out nomination papers. Loudenbeck is a Trump Republican. She is a MAGA Republican. If she gets in, there will be trouble, a lot of trouble. She is trouble. She is no good, and she's not, does not have the ability to be the Secretary of State and uphold the duties under the Constitution, in my opinion. So what do we do? Somebody has got to get to La Follette, and if you don't contribute to him, nevertheless contribute to him. Those of you who are close to him, tell him to get a professional campaign manager and an advertising agency. He's going to have to start putting on ads. This is a warning, a distant early warning. Distant early warning, the DEW system. It's an early warning that's in place for missiles coming from Russia historically over the last 30, 40 years. It's somewhat outdated. DEU, or DEW, the DEW line. Well, this is the DEW line. Going to lines. Dave of Madison, my friend. Thanks for going to Western Mind today, Dave.
Hello. I appreciated your talking about fish, and the reason for that is that I just remember decades ago when our old man went out and that was her dad, and brought home some McDonald's goodies to eat. And that's when there were only two Mickey D's in town. And I just love that fish sandwich. And then,
well, Dave, you know what you're doing. You have emphasized one of the points, is that when you buy it at either McDonald's or at a good fish fry place, what you're going to, you know, you're not going to be aware of where that fish was caught, and you're not going to be aware of the health advisories. But the truth of the matter is that there are health advisories.
Right.
And the main reason is because the Republican Party has stymied any attempt to regulate it, quite frankly, to appeal to their donors. And I'll tell you what, we talk about Fred Prenn, and he's bad news. He's the illegitimate guy in the DNR who's hanging on, and Republican judges said he could. Voss is worse. Voss, lame duck, they push through that they have to approve all regs. And they go, well, are you going to approve any regs for Forever Chemicals? And he goes, well, you know, yeah, we're working on it. We sure are. We've been working on it for 2 years, and we'll work on it for two more years. We'll work on it for two more years. So that's it. So you go to McDonald's for a fish wish. But thanks a lot, Dave. We're going to go on now. I want to get back to La Follette. Get back to the La Follette race and against Amy Loudenbeck. This is a warning to everybody. Be alert. Wake up. Doug is so sure of re-election, because he always gets re-elected, that he took a vacation to Africa in late June and early July, right in the middle of the campaign. And that's fine, and he probably can get away with it. Whoever heard of Amy Loudenbach? But she'll go around going MAGA, going Trump. She'll go, I'm for Trump. I'm MAGA. I'll do what Trump says. We can't have her. we can't have her. Do you understand? And so whoever is close to La Follette, get him some professional campaign management and an advertiser, and get him some contributions. He's honest as the day is long. He's not going to solicit himself, but it's important that you get it to him. Now, let me tell you something else. And this is an amazing part of the skullduggery that's going on in the Republican campaign for governor. And this time, this guy exceeded the bounds. Tim Michaels, who's running against the Duchess of Foxconn, Tim Michaels is running against the Duchess, sent out a campaign mailer promoting his endorsement by the NRA, National Rifle Association. Only one problem. He was not endorsed by the NRA. They haven't endorsed in this race. But he put it out anyway. He said, I was endorsed by the NRA. That's a dumb thing to do, because even the dullest slug out there will scratch, you know, rub his eyes and go, wait a minute, I didn't think they endorsed. The NRA came back with a statement saying that they haven't endorsed anybody, and quote, it does a disservice to people and gun owners to have some guy say he was endorsed when he wasn't. So what does Michaels do? This is typical of modern campaigns. Michael says, okay, then I will, I guess if I haven't been endorsed, I won't say I was. Oh, duh, I won't say I was. But he said, we will withdraw the mailer, we'll withdraw that statement because we have been unfairly attacked by people. And he just turns it around. You know, he'll say, well, the Duchess attacks me, the Democrat attacks me, so I will withdraw it. Yeah, you will withdraw it, Jack. You'll withdraw it because it was false. That's why you'll withdraw it. You know, this sort of campaigning has really gotten, you know, too deep. Now, here's the problem. There's an ad that was run by the people backing the Duchess of Foxconn, and they ran it against Michaels, claiming that basically he's for unions and for gas tax increases. And, you know, look, I have no idea of the veracity of any of those ads. If I see a Republican ad, I yawn and turn the sound off. I know it's, but the truth of the matter is one of these two characters is going to get nominated, and both of them are bad news. Now, the Duchess definitely can't be governor. She has Scott Walker now campaigning for her, put out an ad with Scott Walker coming on saying, you know, we really need her. This is the guy that lost last time. This is the Duke of Foxconn. This is Foxconn himself. And she's the Duchess of Foxconn, the cheerleader of Foxconn. Problem is, Tim Michaels' company made over $1 billion on Foxconn. And he's for it, too. And he's going to have an economic reason to do it. They're all for Foxconn. Foxconn was a scam. Cost us $1 billion. $1 billion. And this Chinese company is hogging the best industrial real estate in the state between O'Hare and Mitchell Field. And they won't let Intel and they won't let Oshkosh in. Why didn't Walker bake something in that the title of the land stayed with us? The Republican Party has badly hurt this state with Foxconn, badly hurt the state. And Michaels and the Duchess are both for it. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
I write, I'm sorry, but my letter keeps coming back. So then I dropped it in the mailbox as an especial deed.